Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And we have another great show tonight dealing with metaphysics and spirituality. And specifically tonight, we're going to be dealing with that concept of spiritual and trying to better understand, at least I'm going to try to explain, maybe you'll understand, maybe I won't be understandable tonight, hopefully I will be, about what it means to do spiritual service and how there are different levels of this. Now, I may confuse some people because I have a very stringent definition of spiritual service. But overall, we need to be able to have some, we'll say, in-between space for those who are not going to fully spiritually serve, maybe even in the number of lifetimes ahead from this one, but nonetheless have their moments or their hours or their days or whatever where they do some level of it. And that's the whole point. It's about levels tonight. And for those of you who have said, well, I read this in this book he wrote or whatever, well, yeah, I'm going to explain what my thoughts are in the extreme, and then I'll also explain what my thoughts are when I'm not as extreme. Now, if you would like to call in, you can do so at 877-876-5227 in the U.S. If you are in Canada, try 888-815-9756. Okay. Now, let me, first of all, tell you something about what I have thought of in terms of spiritual service for a long time. And that is that in order to spiritually serve, someone has to be really focused out onto others. And the energy that they're using to sense with has to be converted into light and enlighten their senses and those of the others that they're serving and provide a very high standard, really, for it to be complete and true and total spiritual service. That's the gold standard, we'll say. Most people do not do that, even when they are doing some level of spiritual service. So what does that mean? That means that some people, a lot of people actually, serve a little bit, maybe for a few seconds or a few minutes or whatever, and then they sort of serve, where they're focused somewhat on themselves, they're doing somewhat some good for others. They're not really always serving others as souls, but sometimes as more personal issues. What's the difference between that? When we serve others as souls, we're trying to help them to go on to serve others as well as souls. And instead, some people serve others as persons or personalities. And when they do that, they serve the others to, in some way, make the others happier, feel better, etc. Oftentimes like them more, and they get something back in the process which is not fully, totally loving, because loving means completely giving, and in this case, it's less than full loving. It's something other than that. But there is some love, just as there is some service sometimes in these circumstances. Now, what are these levels that I'm referring to? Let me give you some idea of how I define them. I define them by the level that someone is willing to make some sacrifices in themselves and to improve their senses in the process and to, over time, show movement towards higher levels of spiritual service. And if that's going on, then they're doing something called spiritual discipline. Oh, so there's a connection between spiritual service and their levels and a level of spiritual discipline. Okay? Hope I didn't lose you on that one. There's a lot of big jumps there. But if I did, you can call me or whatever. Keep listening and I'll try to explain it more. Okay. So, then some people do a little tiny fraction of what I would call spiritual discipline. It might be something on this order. It might be something, as an example, where someone says, well, I am going to choose to, during the next month, spend 1 hour of my time every other day working for this cause and helping to provide some service to others in a certain way. I'm not using any specifics here because I don't want to make it sound like that is what someone should be doing. Okay. So, at any rate, as an example, therefore, if someone is doing that, and that's a kind of a very minimal level, for some people it might be once a week rather than every other day, but whatever it is, there is some change in what they are choosing to get and what they're choosing to give, and at the same time, there's a change in how they're using their senses, because they have to relegate some aspect of their senses and focus on those senses to be more giving to others during the time that they're trying to spiritually serve. I hope you follow that. Now, see, that's the interesting thing. You've got to really kind of sacrifice. You have to also limit yourself if you're going to do any kind of spiritual service, because some element of your sense and some element of what you then use that sense for, which is to increase the level of thinking and then your level of action, all of that has to come from a reduction of the use of the same instruments, so to speak, our thought processes and our senses, for ourselves. So you see how there is a sacrifice involved, even if it's for a very short period of time. That's what I mean by spiritual discipline. So those who are at very low, relatively, very low levels of spiritual service are actually doing a small, very, very small amount of spiritual discipline. They may never call it that. They may never think of it the way I'm suggesting it, because it's going on behind the scenes in a more subconscious way. Why do people do this? Because, ultimately, meaning in life is significantly increased by even a small amount of spiritual service. So even if someone were to do this on a very irregular and infrequent basis, they would experience some increased meaning in their life. You might say, oh, well, prove that. How do I know what you're saying is true? Well, I can tell you how this is how it works. When someone is focusing out, not as much on themselves, using their senses and thought to help others to do the same, if possible, and if they can't, at least serve them somewhat personally, although I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying, even if they go to only that level, the result is the following. The person finds that their consciousness grows and they're able to, we'll say, put the pieces of their knowledge together in a bigger way, and they experience more of themselves being a part of everything else. That's what meaning comes from. Bet you didn't know that. So as we do this sort of thing, that's how you get meaning from anything, is to experience yourself in a bigger and broader way in the things that you are involved in your existence. It's what the very definition of meaning in life is. But most people do not know that. I'm defining it that way because I believe it's true. And anything I say on this show, of course, is for you to decide, test it out. Hey, this guy said this. I'm going to see if it's really true. Well, go check it out and see if the definition I just gave you of meaning in life is working for you, if that really is how you get more meaning. And when you do the opposite, by the way, not you specifically, but when someone does the opposite, it reduces the amount that they are connected to everything else, and their awareness, consciousness, and actions are following in suit with that. Those types of thoughts and behaviors produce in them a reduction in meaning in life as they reduce their own consciousness. Yeah. That's the amazing part about it. So this is like almost, like it has two directions to it. And some people go in one direction some parts of their life, and other parts and other times they go in the other direction. So it isn't like it's like only one way. And unfortunately, for those who get lost in the wrong direction too long, the wrong direction being where meaning is reduced and consciousness is reduced, then there's a kind of lack of meaning, which can oftentimes lead to a state of depression and a state of having a sense of meaninglessness to their existence in general, not about one thing, but about the generality of their existence. Very interesting. Okay. So, levels. How do we determine what level and how do we increase our levels of spiritual service, since there's a connection between that and all these bigger ideas of consciousness and meaning and all this stuff? What can be done? Well, there is a very interesting way of approaching this, and that is to look around and see what parts of the world that are presently having some difficulties that a person can identify with. Doesn't have to be the same as everybody else. It just needs to be something that any one of us sees that, gee, that part bothers me, this part bothers me, I can see that. Some of these might be a little bit of a stretch, that's okay. Maybe it's good to read about them and study, get some understanding from other sources through education of what it is that is happening. And then find the areas that we want to give to, and give in a way that would be helpful to others, and hopefully to help others in ways that will help them to be giving as well. That's a more soul-like giving rather than personal. If you can't do that all the time, that's okay, because after all, we're talking about levels now. We're not talking about the extreme examples that I sometimes write about or try to teach people who have been doing this for a while. This is for the folks who aren't necessarily, quote-unquote, leading a completely spiritual life at this point, or even a partial one. This is for the general people who might be listening to me, and maybe some others who maybe might listen to the show sometime in the future on the Internet, etc. Okay, so here's the point. I'm trying to give a how-to here tonight. If a person can identify themselves as something larger than themselves that they think they can contribute to and it needs attention, there's a problem out there. We need to be focused on it. Then, at that point, they can take that problem and say, gee, I can give. Now, here's a trick. It's very important. The attempt should be to not give just individually or separately, but rather to find others who are already giving in some ways, in whatever it is, the endeavor that is chosen to expand oneself into. By giving in a group fashion, our efforts are multiplied by many, many fold. This gives us much more meaning through every thought and action that we take, even use of our sense. Everything becomes compounded and grown by doing this collectively with others. This is a critical element, because if a person chooses to only do something completely on their own, with no other interactions with others who are doing something similar, then the problem is that they are wasting a good deal of their efforts, because although they may get something out of it, I'm not saying they won't get anything, they are leaving a tremendous amount of resource that is not being used properly and will be wasted. Because as individuals, without working with others, we are relatively impotent in a world as complex and difficult as ours. Now, yes, if we want to go back thousands of years ago, an individual probably could have done a lot more than can be done today. But today, we need to work within groups in many of the very difficult and complicated problems that exist. And the world has traveled to a very different place. And we need to be facing this and working within that. Even thousands of years ago, if people worked as groups, within groups, they could do better than they could individually. So this is a very interesting point. If all of us were to, say, do some of this, a little bit of it, and followed this exercise as I was suggesting, we would have groups of people forming all over the place who would be creating solutions to enormous problems that are facing us, and doing so at a grassroots level. Now, you might say, well, that's all great, but who's going to really lead all of this, and who's going to help these people who are doing this, because because if everybody were to do what you said, isn't it true that without some kind of leadership, there would be atrophy and potentially confusion over time, and maybe one group might even start not working with, but maybe working against others? Well, that's all true, and there's a principle that I want to suggest, and that is that with humility and with a thing called spiritual hierarchical thought, which is a little complicated, but the best thing to understand here is to try to look for the highest level of thinking and the highest level of people taking actions and follow their lead. And so what I'm suggesting is that there are groups of people, oftentimes smaller in number, that might be a bit more spiritually serving than the larger groups of people who are just setting out on their beginning parts of this. And those people may be the models, for the larger groups to be listening to and following. That's only if they are actually creating service and they are really doing something that is significant and that others can see. That's very important. Because just because someone says, well, gee, I'm a spiritual this or that, doesn't mean they're anything. Because it's really what they're doing. That's the bottom line. And if they're teaching, then they better be teaching something that's really helpful to others. Beyond teaching, there's other things that also need to be done. And so much of this has to do with, we'll call it self-credentials, not what a person says they've earned in school or what they say that they are because they just feel that way, but it's really about how they're producing spiritual service in their own life, and that's really the credential that we're looking for. And we can judge others by looking to see if they are expanding themselves into greater areas and using themselves with others to try to help others do the same. And if you could see that going on, then you say, well, you know, these people are probably doing something that's helpful. Maybe I can learn something from them. Maybe we can learn something from them. Okay, so hopefully I'm going pretty fast. I'm trying to build a whole, we'll say, a whole model here for how people can determine what they want to do, how they can get more involved in doing these things, and what is really the problem, we'll say, in today's world, which is kind of, I guess, going to be my next subject here. And that is that at the present time, we're facing an issue in which there's a lot of good that is coming from some people doing small amounts of spiritual service within fairly large groups of people. Actually, that isn't so bad. There seems to be a breakdown, though, in these larger groups and finding the bigger picture by looking at even more advanced groups who are spiritual, but who, for one reason or another, are not necessarily getting their message across, aren't necessarily doing all the spiritual service they should be doing in some cases. And because of that, there is a lack of cohesiveness, a lack of direction, and those that are doing the smaller spiritual service are not necessarily consistently growing in it. They kind of got into a niche, and they stay in that niche, and they do just what they are here to do, but they don't necessarily communicate with other groups doing that are fairly large, and they aren't seeing the smaller groups that might be doing even greater things, but are doing them on a level that they either don't care to understand, or for one reason or another, the smaller groups aren't necessarily being very successful with. And so it's very important for this system to become more relevant and more helpful to all those in it. I think if we're going to deal with the smaller groups first, then those few who might be listening to me who might be members of those smaller groups should be considering whether they are looking out for the larger groups and whether they are concerned about those who are serving much less than they are, but in larger quantity of smaller levels of service, but in larger total amounts because there's a greater number of them. And so that's very important. I don't know how much of that is going on. I think, based upon what I've been hearing, etc., that it may not be happening as often as it should. So I think that would be important to let those people know about. I don't know how many of them are actually tuned in at this moment. For the rest of the people who are really considering or already are doing some smaller levels of spiritual service, I encourage you, of course, always to try to do more. But besides that, try to work more cohesively with other larger groups that are doing something similar. And at the same time, be on the lookout for the even bigger picture, those who may have the leapfrog or the bigger ideas that can really change the perspective of what smaller level, lower level people in service are doing, so they can grow faster and so that they can be part of a more cohesive whole. This is hard to understand, I realize, because I'm talking in very conceptual terms. But the point is that if we're going to make changes in a very short time, and I'm talking about in the next few years, we need to make a change in the structure of the way that people are trying to spiritually serve. I think there's a frustration in some people who have tried to spiritually serve and found that it didn't work as well as they wanted. And this is what I'm trying to correct this evening. I'm hoping that others may want to contact me, because it's hard to do this on a show because I'm talking in such general terms. It'd be easier, really, if someone said, hey, I got this problem, and then I could say, well, try this, this, or this, but it would be very specific to the nature of their kind of service and specifically what they're doing, and I can't do that here. I can only talk in generalities. So that's where I'm kind of, we'll say, stumped at the present moment, exactly how to direct a whole audience of people who may have a very wide and, we'll say, different viewpoint on what their level of service is and what that service is going to entail. Okay, so let me give you something else that's really important to know about before we go to break, and that is that we are in desperate straits right now. When I say we, I'm talking about the whole world. Things are looking worse, not better, in my opinion, than they have in some time. Now, I'm not talking about any specific country or political movement or anything like that. I'm really talking about the fact that this change in race that you've heard me mention is happening, and we're moving towards a serious crisis where people aren't communicating very well. There's a tremendous amount of greed. There's an obstinance in the way that we are trying to, we'll say, not work together. And so the world itself is moving more and more as a reflection of our own, we'll say, inability to work together towards disharmony and towards the development of severe forces, we'll call them natural forces, that will destroy a good deal of the life in the world. Because life is really the growth of God. We are part the custodians, as human beings, for the lower kingdoms about this issue. And unfortunately, as custodians, we're so bickering among ourselves and creating such dissension that the process is slowing down, life is not prospering, and there are things coming, including global warming. I know some people say, well, that's not really such a serious thing. It's an extremely serious thing. And I'm going to tell you something right before we get off the air right now about that. It's extremely serious because people are not aware, apparently, of the ramifications. There's a news station called CNN, and on CNN today, they reported that for the first time, the North Pole will completely melt sometime in September. There will be no ice at the North Pole. They said that's not a big deal, because after all, that ice is not going to change if it melts the ocean levels. Not immediately. The problem is when the ice melts completely, the second there is no whiteness, even if it was only a quarter of an inch thick or whatever, it would be reflecting the light back into space. Instead, the ocean water will absorb 90% of that light in terms of heat. And the oceans will greatly warm up in the North Seas and in the Northern Atlantic and Pacific. And what's going to happen is that next spring, it's going to be much warmer, and the ice will melt maybe in August instead of September. That's called that's a runaway greenhouse effect that's starting to take place. It's a runaway warming effect that's starting to take place, both, and the permafrost which contains methane, may also melt as a result of this. Very bad things could be happening, and they're starting this summer. Now, how terrible is that? That's very terrible. And we'll talk more about that and many other things when we come back from break in, we'll say, about 2.5 minutes or so. And hopefully you'll be thinking about what I just said, along with a lot of other ideas that I have about how we can all work together and serve better at levels, whatever level we're going to serve in spiritual service.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. M-A-C-F-L-O-U-E-R.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And yes, I left you with that little thought in mind that CNN actually did say today not to worry, because what's a little whiteness at the polls anyway? What does that do for us? And I do want to slip them an email, but I'll tell you what, if some of you out there will send them an email about that, that would be better than just me doing it. Remember, it's better when we work together as a group. And so what I suggest is that a few of you maybe send an email to CNN and say, hey, I heard about this. And what I heard was that you guys said this wasn't really a problem, but it is. And this is why it's a problem. And you, again, because the sea is actually like black as far as the sun is concerned. It just absorbs a lot of energy, 90%. Whereas the poles reflect with ice on them, 90% of the energy back out into space. So you have a huge difference in amount of energy that's being absorbed. As soon as you get rid of the very last of the ice, which is white, as soon as you get rid of that, you're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. And it's happening for the first time in September. And next year, as I said, it'll grow to 2 months, and then 4 months, and 3 months, 4 months. Within a couple of years, we'll be at 6 months of the pole being without ice, And then at that point they predict, they being scientists, predict that a good part, if not all, of the Greenland ice sheet will start sliding into the sea. As it does that, the sea levels rise, unlike the ice at the North Pole. It's not floating on water, it's on Earth. And when it goes into the sea, it raises the sea levels. That's a big, big problem. That will cause sea levels to rise about, give or take, a foot or so. It will rise about 20 feet. That's a huge amount of additional rise in oceans. Many people will be vastly affected, including those that live along the coast of any part of our country here, the U.S., and for those of you who live in other parts of the world, I'm sure you know that your countries may be affected as well. So this is going to be a big deal. For those of you who have not yet read, and there could be quite a few who have not yet read the July issue, that's next month, I know, but I got it early. Most of us do who are subscribers to Scientific American. And that's kind of a real, we'll call it science-like magazine, okay. But they have a pretty good article in there about Antarctica. It's only a page and a quarter. It's not that much to read. And in that article, they spell out what I'm talking about. The main thing they were concerned about in the article is that in the Antarctic, now this, what I just mentioned was the Arctic, the North Pole, but in the Antarctic, it's melting five times faster than they actually ever believed, and it's also five times hotter. It's elevating five times faster in terms of heat than any other place on Earth. It's going really, really fast, much faster than anybody expected, and scientists are extremely alarmed. I think we all should be, because the amount of ice that is melting there could raise the oceans by dozens and dozens of feet. For those of you who are familiar with the movie that Kevin Costner was in called Waterworld, or the book that was written, I don't know who again wrote that book, but at any rate, this world could turn into Waterworld. We could actually become that if Greenland melts and Antarctica melts and the Arctic melts and virtually every other glacier in the world's melting. We could end up with just about the whole place being hundreds of feet underwater, except for some mountain ranges. There would be no place that would be dry. It's possible. It could actually happen. Although it's more likely that before that happens, we could strangely go into another ice age because of a reverse process called the conveyor system failing, where salt water becomes unsalted because of all the ice melting in it, and the oceans don't hold the heat any longer, and we have some severe problems. There's a lot of issues that can take place. At any rate, before any of that takes place, hopefully we'll have more people involved in climatology, we'll have more people involved in every area that we need to be involved to make the world a better place and to change the problems that we're facing. Now, I'm going to just mention something else that's a specific issue. And that is, right now, we're short on, we'll say, non-renewable sources of energy. And the renewable sources of energy that we presently have make up, in terms of the world's circumstance, less than, say, 10%. And the question has arisen, what should we do about this? Well, there are two things that need to happen almost immediately. The very first is conservation. We need to reduce the amount of energy we're using. And then, in the very short run, we need to increase the supply of energy so we don't destroy the economies of the world, including the United States economy, that are building bridges, I'm not talking about physical bridges, but ways of bridging to alternative and renewable fuels so that we can get there. If we completely destroy our economies, we will never get there. So we have to have resources to do this. There needs to be a middle ground between, I know the political parties in the United States are battling this out, but there needs to be a middle ground in which for the next few years we start using much less energy, we sequester some types of serious emitters of energy, and at the same time, sequester the emissions of carbon. And at the same time, we continue to develop as fast as possible renewable sources that are going to reduce the amount of carbon buildup in our atmosphere and reduce other pollutants as well and restore the planet to a better balance. This all has to happen with some degree of wisdom rather than people fighting each other and creating problems. Now, that goes back to this concept of spiritual service. If one group is spiritually serving in one way, which is in antagonistic and embattlement to another group, that doesn't resolve anything because the two groups will nullify each other. There needs to be a way of solving issues in which most of the spiritual service that is taking place with each group having humility and respect for all other groups. And this is true of individuals as well, of course. But if we don't go in that direction, the results are going to be nullification of what anybody is doing or what everybody is doing, and we will go nowhere fast, which unfortunately in a world that is creating more and more forces is going to lead to some type of severe destruction of the life structure, including us. You know, we're part of life, you know. And if we destroy a good deal of the life in the world, an equal commensurate amount of human life will also be lost. It's entirely possible we could have half of the world population that we have today, say 20 years from now, or maybe even less than that. So it's something we have to consider. So spiritual service means, even if it's at the lowest level, not just doing the best someone can for the cause they believe in, but making sure that others are not hampered or destroyed in their spiritual service, but rather there is some way to work together, even if it isn't a way in which each is doing exactly the same thing as the other. There's not at least interference. Instead, there is some level of support because there's a common greater goal that all see and function towards, even though they may do it in slightly different ways. So, as an example, let's say we all agree that we need to reduce our carbon footprint. We all agree that we need to use less energy. But maybe we have slightly different ideas about how to make renewable energies or slightly different ideas about how we want to go about using specific kinds of alternative energies, including solar, etc. We may want to pursue that differently than some of our friends in other places who are doing different levels of spiritual service or similar ones to our own, but not in the same way. But the main thing is that we are still looking towards keeping ourselves able to continue, each group continue to function in some spiritual way. Not that one group is going to say, hey, I'm going to destroy our economy so that you guys can't do anything. Well, that's kind of nutty because then nobody's going to be doing anything, right? I'm going to try to create dissension and problems. I'm going to go out and pester the people who are trying to drill for oil, say. Whatever it might be, we have to look at this as a big picture in which we are all part of it, rather than a little picture in which we are fighting only from a small element of the group that we belong to, or actually, if we're just individuals and we don't care about anything or anyone else. This is very important. Now, you can go to some of the shows that I did on how to save energy, because that's very important. Probably the number one thing we can all be doing, even in our own ways, is to reduce the amount of energy that we're using. Nothing will make a bigger difference right now than that. Unfortunately, it's also the thing that is not being talked about much. Everybody's talking about hydrogen cars and solar this and wind that. Well, those things are great, and we should continue to work on them every moment we can. And we're part of that. Well, I'm part of a company that's doing exactly that. But the point is that that's not going to get us past the next 2 or 3 years, or maybe 3 or 4. We have to be concerned about the immediate future and making sure that the level that people are able to function at does not decrease, because if that decreases, if people are starving, if people don't have shelter and clothes, then it's not going to make much difference that we're saying, well, yeah, well, we're getting closer to those solar panels that are really going to work someday. You know what? That's not going to change anything. And I'm going to tell you something else about solar panels. You know, the last two years, there's been a tremendous amount of mis or disinformation coming from some thin film solar companies claiming that they have product available to sell and to use that is like 30 cents, 50 cents, whatever it is, a watt. That means a very cheap price, by the way, to generate solar energy. Problem is that these films are basically in the laboratory. And when they go to produce it, they're not having a very successful issue with it. The production failures are higher than the successes. And so the product doesn't cost what they claim. As a matter of fact, it's not even for sale because they can't make enough to sell it. And so it's all a bunch of smoke and mirrors and people saying stuff that isn't true, trying to get capital and people to invest in their business. But unfortunately, giving a false impression that we are just, you know, a hair's breadth away from everybody having solar collectors on their roof and they're going to collect checks from the electric company. Right now, if a person wanted to collect a check from an electric company, they probably have to invest of their own money, including all tax credits, well over $100,000 to get any money back. Well, and of course, they're never going to see a net profit out of that because they might get a $5 chunk of a month of that, right? And so it's not going to happen like that. We instead have to find ways to gradually move towards this as well as to correct the problems in manufacturing and others so that people really can do that someday. That would be a wonderful thing. I'm very much in favor of it. But it isn't practical for people, at least living in first world countries. Now, people living where they use very, very little electricity, it actually makes sense to put a few solar panels up and just have them work off of that, because that is a productive resource for them. But for most people living in first or second world countries, that isn't true. They don't come out ahead on the deal. In many cases, they can't even come close to affording to do it. And unfortunately, we have to tell people this, because we're in this business and we would love to be putting solar collectors on everybody's roof. But if it's going to cost them way more than what they're going to save and they're going to go broke in the process, well, that's not going to make any sense. So I wanted you to know about that because there's just a lot of this disinformation out there. Getting back to levels of spiritual service. If we're going to serve together, we have to see each other as souls at some level. Now, I know I told you that personal is okay if that's the best you can do. But in the long run, what happens is if we see each other as on a personal level, no matter how good our intentions are in the beginning, the process erodes. It becomes further and further distant from the concept that we're really trying to work together with everyone else. And no matter how good it is, it's sort of like the French Revolution, you know, everybody says, yeah, democracy for everybody, but then first off with their heads, and then let's get a dictator in, and then let's go destroy the rest of Europe. You know, it just doesn't work, because you've got to not just talk about egalitarianism, and you got to do more than just say, we're going to be democratic, and we're going to be this or that. We have to really see others as souls rather than as persons. And the way you can get to that level is by looking for it in the best of each of us. And by then helping to develop it by giving to people in ways that help them to become that. So again, it gets back to that question of wise giving and not giving on a personal level, but rather on a soul level. This is unfortunate because it means that for those of us who are at the level where we're just barely starting, some of the stuff we're going to do is not going to be the greatest, because it actually, on a long-term basis, erodes and destroys spiritual service. So there has to be a tolerance for those that are starting off, allow them to make the mistakes, but encourage them to grow into becoming more soul-conscious, helping others to become more giving themselves. in ways and give to still others, et cetera, the pay it forward method. And being tolerant of those that are not yet at that point, but also being a model for and an educator for the more favorable, much more favorable, service as a soul. Now, I know that's a little bit to ask, or a lot to ask for some people, but that's the only thing that in the long run will work. Yes, we still can be tolerant for those who are not doing it, provided it isn't everybody. Because if everybody starts doing it, we're headed for big trouble because the whole system will erode very quickly, and the people will be giving unwisely, and unwise giving can be just as bad as plain and simple not doing anything, and it can end up very destructive. So hopefully we won't end up in that kind of situation. Now, again, from what I've been hearing, the larger groups of people who are doing smaller levels of service are actually doing better than some of the smaller groups of people who are doing a large amount of service. And part of that has to do with the concept that the people who are in the smaller groups have kind of become a little on the more, we'll say, separative side and don't see the relevance that the larger groups have to them. And so they're only paying attention to the very specific things they're doing. Some of these are scientists, by the way. Some of these are people who are in many different fields of activity, but they're not seeing that they need to be contacting and communication with these larger people, groups of people who are not necessarily at the same level of service. But that's what needs to take place. And this is not taking place. So we have an imbalance. We have a problem that those that we'll call it the higher levels of spiritual service are actually not behaving correctly. They aren't actually reaching out for others. And consequently, this is harming the whole system. And just to be very specific about this, I read all these science journals and things, and one of the things that's very obvious to me is that the people that are coming up with all of this information, including the information I just told you about that's in Scientific American in July, is they're communicating through the magazine, but I don't see them reaching out to the groups that they need to reach out to get people in action. As a matter of fact, in the article, it says that the scientists that have discovered this, which is a fairly large number, don't know what to do. They're kind of in a quandary, so they're just sitting around saying, well, I guess the world's going to go to hell, so what are we going to do about it? I mean, this is the problem. They need to see that they have critical information that needs to get out there, and they should be contacting CNN. But we'll do it, of course. We will. Hopefully, some of you will send an email over to them so they know that they made a mistake today. But the point is that they should be doing it as well because they are more the leaders. I mean, I'm only telling you information I'm getting from them, right? Shouldn't they be in contact with others who aren't just like themselves, but who have many different pursuits? Because I think that the misinformation, the miseducation is killing us faster than just about anything. People are actually walking around saying, oh, so the North Pole is melting, no big deal. Hell, I'll go swimming there, it'll be warm. You know, just think of all the boats that'll be able to travel through there. We'll have new boat lanes that they can go straight through without any ice. That's just great, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. The issues that are happening are of such magnitude that we all have to be concerned that we do something to help others to understand this and to work with us together. We form units that go out and connect to everybody else. And it's not the easiest thing to do because, again, this third ray issue, communication is becoming more difficult, not less. It's hard for anybody to even hear you because there's so much of the drone. There's so much of the other stuff out there making noise. You can kind of get lost in it. That's why we need to work together as groups, because an individual just gets lost in it. I don't care how many times you write a blog or whatever it is. It's just not going to get that far. You need to be in connection with others who are doing kind of the similar kind of thing. And if you're not, you can form a group. You know, say, hey, I'm interested in this. All those who are interested, hey, contact me. Let's do something. And let's try to work with other groups rather than to fight other groups. Because if we're fighting, we're not accomplishing anything. All we're doing is digging our own graves. Okay, let me try to finish up this idea of spiritual levels. So, generally speaking, we develop our spiritual level of service as we discover within ourselves that the more that we discipline ourselves in a spiritual direction, the better our senses work, the better our thought becomes, the more conscious we become as we take it into some form of action with others or interaction, and the more meaningful our life then is, and we are rewarded with both the meaningfulness and the joy and eventually bliss of working with others and creating more of our Creator while we do so. It starts at a very slight level. I won't even call it a level of being a spiritual quote-unquote disciple. It really starts long before that. It starts when people first discover that just becoming in some ways good feels good. And they discover that doing things that aren't good feel bad. It starts at that point, what I call character development. And then it moves into the eventual development of a person taking conscious direction and saying, this is what I'm going to do with my life because I find that this is really what makes a difference. This is who I am, something bigger than who I thought I was. I am this cause, and this cause is part of the world and part of the universe and on and on. And it's all connected. I see at least some of the connections. Then the level of spiritual service goes up. The more that kind of thinking and action takes place in a person, the more their spiritual development by nature will increase. You can't just say, I want to be a spiritual blank blank, and just decide you're going to will yourself into that and meditate about it. Actually, that is a way to go in the wrong direction, because it leads you away from the real issue, which is to see yourself as something bigger than who you are, rather than the small little person sitting around and meditating all the time. Okay, I hope that has been helpful. I have a few things to mention here. For those of you who have Sunday available, this Sunday I'm going to be talking about the mental worlds on 1170 AM. For those who live anywhere on the East Coast in the United States, Northeastern Coast, you can get me, on 1170 AM. Or if you don't live there, or if you would rather, just go to WDISAM.com radio and listen in. It's going to be at 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And, of course, if you live someplace else, you can figure out what that's going to be. That's this Sunday, June 29th. Also, those of you who can get into Phoenix, into the Phoenix area, go to Glendale Borders Books and Music from 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. The topic is going to be on Atlantis, and me, one of the members of the spiritual group that I am a member of, will be talking about that. And there's no charge. It's open to the public. And just show up, and she'll be glad to talk with you about the topic of Atlantis. That's what she's going to be doing. Okay, so hopefully today's show has given you some encouragement to become more spiritual. Many people say, well, isn't that a terrible thing? No, it's the most wonderful thing in the world. It's what makes you into something much bigger. You got to give it a chance. You got to give it a try. I'd love to hear from you, to hear what you're doing to make it better and to increase it, because that's an important thing. So let me know. If you want to also be more involved in some of the things that the group that I'm a member of, let me know about that. Let me know about anything a group that you're participating in is doing. I'd love to hear about it. And anybody who isn't a member of a group, just let me know about that too, because I'll tell you where you might be able to find somebody, some resource, and get involved. So I hope today's show has been somewhat encouraging and somewhat, I hope, enlightening about what spiritual service is and how you can function at almost any level of it. Okay, so until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.